to the moon. One name is Addy, the other is Mo. Addy's a dick and Mo's just fat. Remember that, please follow us to the moon. They're gonna talk wrestling. They're gonna make some jokes. Remember, Addy's a dick, Mo's just fat. Addy's a dick and Mo's just fat. Let's talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling.
Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I am Addy.
Hey yo, I am Mo.
Hello, Mo.
And I didn't watch Raw.
Oh. Really?
Yeah.
Why ever not?
Well, I can tell you why. I'll fill you right in here.
Okay, well, just tell me, actually. Get your hands off me.
Let me explain it to you. Then you can fill me in on what was on Raw.
Right.
Even though I did read about it, and listen about it,
okay.
Whatever about it.
Right.
But here's the thing.
Okay, fuck them.
I'm sitting there on Raw, and Raw's about to come on. And
yeah.
I'm sitting there and thinking to myself, let me see, the last 15 hours of programming from the WWE, I'd say 13 of them have been
crap.
One of them has been passable, and one of them has been good.
Crap.
Like, that's it. Like, that's like, you're just a horrible percentage.
Yes.
And it used to be, if I wanted to watch wrestling, that's it. Monday nights or Saturday mornings originally.
Yes.
Then Monday nights, I'd have to turn on the wrestling, the Raw, whatever.
Right.
And then it got to the point where, okay, well, now I don't have to. You could put in a VCR. You could put in, you know, a tape or something like that. But you had a limited collection of VHS tapes and whatever. And, you know, you couldn't watch that much. So.
This is true.
So you had to watch Raw.
Okay.
And then eventually you got the computer and you were able to download stuff and watch on YouTube. But it still could be a pain in the ass. The quality wasn't as good.
I remember that.
Whatever.
Yeah.
You know, now, when it comes to be Monday, I'm like, Monday, I want to watch wrestling. And I want to watch wrestling every Monday and every Tuesday. And every Wednesday. And every day. And I didn't used to have a choice. I had to watch Raw if I wanted to watch wrestling. There wasn't a lot of choice. Now, if I want to watch wrestling, I have a whole bunch of choice. So I expect the more that the WWE Network gets subscribers, the less people will watch Raw. Because they can watch wrestling that's a lot better than what they're putting on.
Yes.
So that's what I did on Monday. I watched wrestling on the WWE Network. And I did not watch Raw. And I feel good about that.
What did you watch?
I watched a couple of the Countdown episodes.
The Countdown?
And a Hell in the Cell from 2009.
Oh, how was that?
That was all right.
What was on the Hell in the Cell in 2009? You're complaining about wrestling today, and you watched a show from 2009.
I know. I could have had other options. I was curious.
You could have had other options?
I had a lot of other options. I had a lot of other options. But you know what? 2009... That show, just as a pay-per-view by itself, as a standalone programming, much better than what I've been getting with Raw, which is the same guys and the same... Yeah, this was totally different. The main event was Randy Orton versus John Cena.
Oh. Yeah, see, and this, you just don't get this stuff anymore.
Exactly.
Like, that's what you're missing.
It's fresh.
Those cookie-cutter baby-face looks.
It's fresh. Yeah. But no, seriously, I mean, I was able to watch that, and it's a better show, and it's... Raw is...
War?
Raw is... How many... And it happened on SmackDown, too. They had Cena and Ambrose versus Kane and Orton.
What?
And on SmackDown.
They did the same match on Raw and SmackDown
on
for
SmackDown.
A change?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. And you know what? The finish of this one was Seth Rollins coming out and interfering in the match. So we didn't get a clean finish. Because we never see that, though.
I'm just trying to... So, they had the same match
on... One of the great pictures of all time right there.
Yes.
They have a thing with this on the WWE Network, 100 rare match or photos from WCW. Here's one with DDP, Goldberg, Warrior,
and
Roddy Piper. And it's just a wicked picture.
Yeah, that is a great picture.
But yeah, I know, that's the thing, right? I mean, we have so many, like, non-finishes and whatever on Raw, and nothing ever seems to go forward or gets moved. and nothing is matters at all. At least you can go back into the past. I mean, at least you can have a you can escape to some sort of reality you can create, whether it's 2009 or 1999 or 1989. And I did watch some Clash of Champions as well from like I think 91, but I didn't finish it because I got sleepy.
Sleepy.
That was late. Huh. I'm old.
Yeah, you are old. That's true.
Just look at me.
Yeah, so old.
Yeah.
Let's see. What are we looking
for? So anyways, but Raw. I may not watch it next Monday. I might sit there and go, man, I could watch it, or I can watch Stone Cold Steve Austin when he was fun and exciting and fresh. I can watch The Rock, or I can watch Randy Savage. I can go and do any of that, and all of that I'll enjoy more.
Yes, this is true. Yeah. That's true. I was trying to pull up like we were wanting to is the ring gear and it's.
I saw it was on my WWE app something about it, but who knows? Maybe I read it wrong. Maybe they were talking about 10 greatest.
Maybe that's probably what it is. Okay, well that sucks. Anyway, Froth was.
So there's other stuff on WWE Network we can do.
Anything that didn't involve
WWE.com.
I know. Yeah. Anything that did not involve Dean Ambrose was just garbage.
Yeah.
And that's...
Ambrose is the key.
That's Raw in a nutshell. If Dean Ambrose is not on my television, it's garbage. The only other thing that was good was the...
The Drums and Drosin used to throw that show out.
He does. The best other thing on there was a Luke Harper package, video package, for Luke Harper about how great he is. Because, I don't know if you know this, Luke Harper is great.
Yeah, we've been saying now for a little while that he's the best big man in the business right now.
Yeah.
And he is.
And so what looks like it's going to happen here is the promo is Bray Wyatt has set him free.
Yes. I thought it was a Bray Wyatt promo, not a Luke Harper promo.
No, it's a Luke Harper promo.
Okay.
Bray Wyatt has set him free.
Okay.
And so what's happening is essentially is that the Wyatts are breaking up.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the breakup.
Okay.
So Bray Wyatt is going to be a solo. Luke Harper is going to feud with Eric Rowan, at least for now.
Really?
And so there's that.
Who's the babyface?
Huh? Who cares? Who cares?
Well, this is a fresh match.
Yeah, yeah. That I don't care about.
I mean, I don't mind seeing that. I'll see that. I'll watch whatever. I'm very curious. Luke Harper, we talk about what a great big man he is, and I know Rowan's improved a lot. Let's see if what he can get out of a match with Rowan.
Yeah. Yeah, why not? Why not have your debut single program with someone who's getting better? That's good. That's good.
Why not? Start somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, when I heard about this, I was like, yeah, I don't want to see them broken up, but then again, I thought breaking up the Shield was a mistake.
But fear not.
So I was very young. I'm young.
Fear not, old Mo.
But I was wrong with the Shield, so I assume I could be wrong with this too.
Well, here's the thing.
Okay.
Here is the thing. Bray Wyatt.
There's a guy.
There's two guys.
Okay.
With Bray Wyatt, because Bray Wyatt will not go at it alone.
Okay.
He will take under his wing the Ascension.
Okay.
So it's Bray Wyatt and the Ascension in the new Wyatt family, or as I like to call them, Wyatt Family 2000.
Yeah. I almost understand it gimmick-wise, but not quite. It's interesting. It's not a bad way to debut them. Doesn't do anything for
me
for Wyatt. And tell you the truth, it not only does it not do anything for Wyatt, I don't know that it does anything for... I mean, why couldn't they all five be in there? And just grow and continue to dominate. Or at least continue to be a team and be kicked out and face the Ascension. And put the Ascension over that way.
That's kind of what I was thinking. It doesn't really make much sense. Now, I like the idea of Harper as a single. In theory. The problem is that he soon will be the victim of 50-50 booking. And main eventing intercontinental title matches on main event. So, you know, but that is...
No, I have no doubt about it. The problem is, I don't know what are they doing. What are they doing with his look? Is it going to stay the same?
I would think so. He's got a wild-eyed, crazy man. You know, he's got that kind
he's
of mountain.
He's got a baby face that seems likely, but I just don't see, as good as he is, I don't know. And they need a guy to replace Kane in that role as the big man at the top of the car, so maybe he gets that. But
no,
I don't see him.
No, he does
him.
Not.
No, I don't think so either.
Kane keeps that. Because
for another
all they
years.
Give a shit about is old people that they they don't know how to create a star anymore.
Well, Ambrose, Rollins, Reigns.
Yeah, they haven't created them as stars yet. Fans have taken.
They're bigger stars than Kane.
Not in the Attitude Era. When Kane when Kane was fighting
Taker.
That's when they created. No, it's not unfair. That's when they created Kane as a star by fucking vignettes of him before he even existed.
When he first showed up in 97.
That's gotta be Kane! That's gotta be Kane!
Dude. He it wasn't until the company took off that he was...
He fought Undertaker at WrestleMania 14 in the second most anticipated match on the show.
Let me tell you, in February of 1998, he's not a bigger star than Dean Ambrose is or Roman Reigns is right now. He's not.
Yeah, he is.
No, he is.
He's not on the same level. He's not on the... But you got to remember that I consider the Godfather... In the Attitude Era, a bigger star than Seth Rollins is right now.
Well, that's possible because the Attitude Era was much
that's
bigger,
right?
And that, but that's not because the Godfather was so great. That's
yeah,
because,
he was.
That's not because how great he was.
He
it's
was.
Because the company was so.
The
hot.
Godfather was fucking awesome. The company was better because they knew how to create stars.
Company was hotter.
They
and
don't know
better.
How
but
to create stuff. They don't know how to create these guys. So it's mid-card purgatory.
Well, they
Dean Ambrose is your next. Dean Ambrose. Dean Ambrose.
Doing a lot
yeah,
for Ambrose.
Fuck off. Dean Ambrose is your next. Dean Ambrose is your next Daniel Bryan. Dean Ambrose is your next CM Punk. Dean Ambrose.
In their
is
minds,
next,
they think they've done a lot for Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, Dean Ambrose is your next guy who will be pretty good, that has the potential to break out, that they will squishy squash. And that's all it is. So... Now, okay, I'm enjoying Ambrose on my television. I'm going to love it while I can get it. But I look forward to this time next year when we don't have that anymore. Actually, I don't look forward to it, but I realize that that's what's going to happen. When he's fighting Dolph Ziggler. But let's go to WrestleMania, and we talk about the creation of stars, and that's where you're going to have all the Stings and the Hogans and all. That's what we keep talking about, because they don't know how to do it. And they don't want to do it. That's the reality of it. They just don't want to.
No, you're...
I'm convinced they don't want to.
Well, I...
They want to have people think
this,
that there's vibrators
this isn't,
in your
speaking briefcase. Of, speaking of something new. Okay, this isn't new. You are an idiot. But that's being established for a
really?
While. Really? Yeah.
And you're that means you that stupid.
Yeah.
Because I'm so much smarter than you. So if I'm an idiot...
Oh, really? You're the one who watched Raw... And I'm the dumb one?
I PVR'd it. I did. I watched it. I watched it on delay so I could skip through the crowd.
And I'm the stupid one. I'm watching Hell in a Cell from 2009.
Yeah, you're watching. You have no leg to stand on because you're watching Randy Orton versus.
But
John
I also
Cena.
Watched Countdown. Come on, that's way better than Raw.
Yes.
Okay.
I gotta tell you, I'm up to like July of 1996 on these Nitros.
Yeah.
Love it.
Oh, yeah.
Love it. They just went to 2 hours.
Just went to 2 hours.
And it doesn't seem too long.
No, 2 hours isn't too long if the program is good.
That's right.
3 hours is too fucking long.
Yes.
But
I love it how Macho Man Randy Savage just fought Greg the Hammer Valentine.
Wow.
And I didn't mind.
Yeah. So anyways,
that's why they had to go to 2 hours.
Let's go back to the point of you're an idiot. They are
okay.
Trying to make a star of Ambrose, and they're certainly trying it even more with Reigns. In their minds, they tried, like I say, with Wyatt, and they tried with Daniel Bryan, even.
You're talking about in their minds. So let's talk about reality.
But I mean, the point of the guys, for the casual fans who aren't watching the current product, you use guys like Sting and Hogan and these guys to bring them in to watch WrestleMania that one time. And hopefully, they get enough, they like enough the new stars, and they've made them seem big enough stars
that
they
haven't
continue to watch.
And they haven't.
Well,
they
haven't in the past, but,
yeah.
They haven't put behind a push like they are with Reigns for a long, long time behind one person, or
right,
even with Ambrose,
right.
Possibly. Not for years, right? So, the last guy they did to try and put that push behind was probably Cena when he beat Triple H. But that didn't have that nostalgia match to bring a guy back in that we're talking about. So, I mean, if you're going to use Sting and Hogan the way they use Tyson, get some eyes on the product.
Tyson Kidd? They put headphones
Mike
on him?
Tyson. The way they use him to get some people to watch, casual fans, and then you know, they'll see the new star and they'll continue to. Uh-huh. That's fine.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, their idea is that it's Reigns and it isn't.
Right. So they're going to do that, is what you're saying.
They're going to try. You say they don't know how to make new stars.
So you're an idiot, then.
They don't. You say they don't know how to make new stars.
Daniel Bryan, Cesaro, Dolph Ziggler. There you go.
What have they done wrong with Reigns?
They gave him incarcerated hernia.
You're right. Those fucking idiots. How could they book that?
Now, what have they done wrong with Reigns? They haven't done anything wrong with Reigns yet.
Yeah.
Yet.
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 Yet. So yet. You can't say they don't know how to make new stars.
I do, because he gets a good reaction. I'll tell you what they did. They gave him too long of interviews. They started to give him too long of an interview.
But that's too long of a match. But that's because in doing so, they're not necessarily highlighting his strengths. But in doing so, they're also thinking that's what you need to do to establish him as a megastar. Right. Because that's what megastars do. They have the longer matches and they have the longer promos.
Yes.
And now it's his time to see if he can hit it out of the park.
And
we
he can't.
We know he can't, but it's not a wrong thing to do with him. He's the wrong guy. And that is the wrong thing.
Here it is. If you give the right push to the wrong guy, you don't know how to make a star. Yeah, you don't, because you're not making a star, because ultimately that guy is going to get...
But he is a star.
Ultimately that guy is going to fizzle out and get shit on.
He is a star because his house shows, when he was on top, were drawing virtually the exact same as what John Cena's were drawing.
Yeah.
That's because he's a star.
He's their guy that can be at a serviceable guy that's going to main event house
shows. Well, do you consider John Cena a star or not?
I consider John Cena a star. Yes, I do. I don't consider John Cena a megastar, but I consider John Cena a star.
We've talked about this before.
He's on that second tier.
I don't think he is anymore. I thought he was. I thought he was for a long time, and I don't. I think he's overpassed that. I think he's got longevity. That's what he has.
Yes,
with the amount of longevity, I think that's he's, it. I think you could argue he's the fourth or fifth biggest star of the last 20 years.
Well, of the last 20 years, because he's been on top for 18 of them.
Yeah, I know.
That doesn't do it for me. No, he's a second tier.
I mean,
he's a second tier. He's the top of the second tier.
You know, where you go, how much behind, like, if you look at him, you look at the metrics of what he's accomplished.
The metrics?
How much behind Austin and Hogan and The Rock is he?
Miles.
He's behind them, but not as far behind them as... No. And a lot of it is that he's been on top for so long, but a lot of that is because nobody's coming along that's better than him.
Yeah, no. No, that is definitely not true. There has been nobody that they have let be better than him.
Who's better than him?
CM Punk?
No.
Yes.
Please.
CM Punk was better than
him. No, he wasn't.
Yes, he was.
No, the numbers show it. CM Punk, when he got his chance, never could move merchandise or move numbers the way Cena could.
You're aware that this what we watch on Mondays is real, right?
No.
No. So they book, do they?
They
manipulate?
They do book.
So they manipulate. So we've just been talking about how Eric Rowan's going to be in 50-50 mid-card bullshit. And
Eric Rowan or Luke Harper, both of them,
and along with the other 95%,
and they will do that.
Roster.
That's one of the things they do wrong.
So when they don't know how to make stars, it has nothing to do with whether you're better.
He's not better.
Yeah. Yeah,
no,
he is.
He's not.
Yes, he is.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
No, he's not.
CM Punk is a lot better.
No, he isn't.
Yes, he is.
No, he's not.
Yeah. Okay. No. What makes him worse?
Well, let me see. He doesn't have nearly the level of charisma that John Cena has.
Okay.
That's the biggest difference. He doesn't have anywhere near... He's as good a talker, maybe a little better.
He's better. Yeah.
He's as good a wrestler, maybe a little better. Not a lot better, maybe a little better.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. Doesn't have nearly, even a comparable level of charisma.
And Daniel Bryan?
Daniel Bryan is a little bit of a different case. And Daniel Bryan, the WWE, believes that they love, the people love his catchphrase. I think they're foolish, because I think if people love saying yes, yes, yes,
yeah,
then come the Royal Rumble last year, yeah, consider they had a chance to watch him wrestle and did the yes count, and could have done it any time they wanted to in the middle of the Royal Rumble anyways. The fact that they were booing a Rey Mysterio and a Dave Bautista,
yeah,
who they had absolutely no reason in that match to boo, only because he wasn't Daniel Bryan, says to me they love Daniel Bryan, not just saying yes, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a different case, but he hasn't had any longevity on top that I can really judge it on. He hasn't had the chances, or the
Oh, he doesn't have the chances?
No.
He didn't have the chances.
Not yet. Not so, yet. And a lot of that's because, I mean, he got hurt when he was finally at that point, and then he was in the middle of a horrible
booking. But WWE decided to go with John Cena because, you're right, there was nobody else at the time.
Look at the reaction he was getting at the time. He was the biggest. Him and Batista were the two biggest guys, right? And they looked at Batista and said, Batista's the biggest star right now, but John Cena has the biggest potential, so let's switch brands. And that's what they did, and it was the right move.
Yeah. Well, it was definitely the right move of the two. He's better than Batista, and certainly was at the time. But what they, because they don't know how to make stars, they have not gotten to that point where someone's ready to come up and take
no,
that.
It's,
take
I mean, over. They don't know how to make stars to a large degree. I'll agree. But when they think they have a guy and they think that guy can be a star,
it's a wrong
guy. Their ability to see the guy who could be a star
is wrong.
And capitalize on, that's what they suck at. Dolph Ziggler could have been a huge star, and
yes,
they never capitalized.
So to me, you don't know how to make stars.
No,
yeah.
But Randy Orton is somebody they said can be a star, and they did everything they could to capitalize on it. The fact that he couldn't get to that next level is because he's only at a certain level.
Yes,
but it's not their inability to make a star.
Yes,
it's that the person that they didn't have. It's like trying to build. It's like trying to build. If you have the materials to build a shack, and you're trying to build a house. You can't build a house.
Tell me how my ass tastes.
All you can build is a shack, because that's all the other materials for. With Randy Orton, they tried to make him a star at the level of Steve Austin. He couldn't reach that level, because he's not as good as Austin. But they didn't. But it wasn't their push of Randy Orton that was bad. It was the Rand, and they didn't have anybody better.
See,
he was still better than
my argument.
He's still better than the next guy they had a choice for, because nobody had those tools
that a
Steve Austin had.
My argument is if you.
But
If they push the wrong guy.
Randy Orton wasn't the wrong guy to push.
The wrong guy, you don't know how to make sense.
No, Randy Orton wasn't the wrong guy to push. And Roman Reigns isn't the wrong guy to push. Is Ambrose a better guy to push? I believe so. But he's not the wrong guy to push. You know, Great Khali was the wrong guy to fucking push.
Yes.
Okay? That was a mistake.
You don't want to fuck or push the Great Khali.
You know, Kozlov was the wrong guy to push.
JBL.
JBL, they didn't have a lot of options.
JBL was the wrong guy to push.
They didn't have a lot of options on SmackDown at that time.
Because they didn't create anybody. Yes, because
there wasn't a lot.
Kurt Angle got hurt, Brock Lesnar left, and they were left holding the fucking bag.
Yeah,
and Hunter's
left
a big two. Well, they knew Goldberg was leaving, but
yeah,
Hunter was too big of a star to go to SmackDown. So that's all. That's
they didn't. They
have.
Really didn't have.
I mean,
yeah,
what you're left with. What you're left with right now is we go back.
And they
to,
did do a poor job for years with their developmental, and they've improved that a lot. And their developmental and understanding
yeah.
those guys and bringing those guys up. But I mean, about the same time as what
well. No, I wouldn't say that. I would say they understand developmental a bit better. They do not have a track record with bringing guys up. The Wyatts are their only success act.
Yeah, I think
Emma, Bo Dallas. I mean, I guess you could say Paige to a certain degree has been.
I think when you say that, I almost consider this current developmental about 3 years old. So I mean, the what they're trying to do now. So
yeah.
You know, I mean, it's not long enough for me to judge how well they'll do at it yet. But so far, you're right. So far,
but
the
problem
are the
here's your problem again is you can get developmental and you can get these guys, you can get these Tyson kids and these Devitts and these Steens and these what are they called, Kaz Hayashis or Hideki Hitomos or whatever the fuck their names are, and your Sami Zayns and your what's his name Finn Balor's, and you could get them all, and as soon, though, as you bring them up, if you have people that don't know what they're doing...
Rusev's another success.
It ain't going to matter. Rusev has been a decent success, although I would argue that that it's on the back of Lana, but that act.
And they've booked him well.
And they kept the
they
act.
They booked him like a star. He keeps on going up the card and beating people.
Yes.
You know, and it is simple, but the point that I'm saying is, I'm saying to you that Portuguese women pretending to be Russians, but I'm saying to you, you're saying they don't know how to make stars. I'm saying to you, no, that's not the case. I'm saying to you, they choose poorly which people to make a star. They don't recognize a potential breakout candidate as well.
Yeah, and we're saying basically the same thing, because in my definition, that means you don't know how to make a star.
In my definition, that doesn't mean that you don't know how to make a star.
How do you make a star?
They've done a better job in the last two years making stars, because they've given us, and you say there's only Rusev and only the Wyatt families.
Yeah.
Well, the fucking Shield is three fucking guys right there.
No, okay. So, NXT, that was okay. That's borderline, yeah. But okay, I'll give you that. They were in before.
But it doesn't matter. They've made them as stars.
They did.
So you can't say they don't know how to make stars. When they have a reason to, they know how to do it. They might, but the problem is not that they don't know how to do it. The problem is when they don't need to do it. Dolph Ziggler, if they had done it before, they needed to do it a year or two ago because the top of the card had gotten just devastated and Edge left and yeah. Alberto Del Rio wasn't getting over to the level they needed to. And they needed to make new stars. And that's what helped even a Ryback at the time and the Shield and these different guys.
Yeah, right.
They had the reason to make new stars. But the problem was that 4 or 5 years ago, they didn't have a reason to make those stars. They felt they were strong at that time.
They were strong, but that's part of not making a star.
That their failure to recognize then, even if we don't need them to, Dolph Ziggler can become a star, so fucking go with it. That's the failure. Not knowing how, thinking that you don't need to because you feel like you're good. That's the difference.
Well, there is a difference there. There is a point to that as well. But to me, not knowing how to make a star, the definition of making a star is taking the right guy and pushing him. And so they don't know how to do that. They don't.
Hunter doesn't do the curtain call. Steve Austin doesn't win King of the Ring.
Yeah.
Hunter does. Steve Austin doesn't cut that promo.
That's right.
They didn't recognize and even know how to make Steve Austin a star back then.
That's right.
Steve Austin was undeniable, much in the same way of a Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Right? And CM Punk, very good, wasn't undeniable in that way. He just wasn't.
But I would argue that John Cena
was undeniable in that way if you look at the reactions he was getting right when he was first won that title from JBL, and he was at SmackDown, and he was hot as hell.
Let's not do that, because him winning the title against JBL was very anticlimactic.
But that was because of the match.
Well, it was part of it. But this, I mean, you didn't have much of a story there.
No, you didn't have much of a story.
And that wasn't
as anticlimactic as the rematch, the I Quit match the next month. That was the anticlimactic
match. Yes, it was.
He got a big reaction the night he won the belt at Mania. So
comparatively.
Yeah.
He didn't really. But part of it, too, where was it? Was it at Rosemont?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
So, I mean, there wasn't a heck of a lot of people there anyway.
No.
Which, again, but I'm just looking at, they don't feel, I mean, it goes back to they don't feel that desperation either. And they don't give a shit about, and as long as they keep trudging out old stars to...
Cesaro's a perfect example here.
Oh, yeah.
Cesaro a year ago was hot.
They didn't think
they needed Cesaro at the top of the card because they had their new guys. They had the Shield. They had the Wyatts. They didn't think they needed it. So they didn't book him, and they thought they did. We'll give him to Heyman. That'll get him over. But then they didn't do the right thing from there.
That's right.
And that's lazy booking, and that's a lack of focus. But it's not an inability to make stars, because at the same time, they were making stars of the Shield. So it's just their ability to... Let's put it this way. You know what they suck at? Fucking multitasking.
Yes, they do. they are great with one thing. Let's go with one thing right now.
Yeah, that's it.
If they had a 3-hour show with just one thing on it, it'd be great.
It'd be a great show.
Best show ever.
Unfortunately, you gotta fill all these goddamn segments.
No, but if you just fill it with one thing. If
yeah,
you,
it'd be good.
If you have a 180-minute Iron Man match.
Oh, gold.
Between
every
the Wyatt family and the Shield.
Every week. Done. Actually, I would watch that. Their matches were great.
But I think, I just look at it like, they know how to get guys to that upper mid card level, but they don't.
But at some point, you have to say, okay, if we can get the guys to that upper mid card level,
yes,
that's all. That's the only level they could get The Rock to. The Rock got himself to that next level because he's The Rock.
Well,
because he had those abilities.
Partially,
Hogan even
partially. But then at the end of the day, the guy with the pencil has to agree.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we saw Mick Foley, and he even said, you couldn't be a top star until Vince McMahon was a personal fan of yours.
That's true.
And so...
That's always been an issue.
Yeah.
And there's guys that, it's like Chris Benoit back in the day, loved his work, but didn't think he was a star. So, he didn't see him at that level.
Well, I mean...
You get a William Regal, loved his mic skills and charisma, didn't like his work, so he didn't see him at that level.
That's true.
It's what it is among... for Vince that makes him go, yeah, he's got everything I'm looking for, makes him a fan, I don't even really know sometimes.
But the problem with it is...
I don't think anybody does.
Well, no, nobody does. That's the thing. Even
of
Vince
course, it's Hunter
does.
Right now, right? And it's
Vince.
Not so much Vince.
Well, but at the same time, it's just something that... They know how to, as I said, they know how to get these guys up to that level. And you're right. I mean, The Rock got himself over, but someone had to go, this guy's getting himself over, push him. And... Daniel Bryan was undeniable, and they changed it, and they went with it, and it was great, and unfortunately, injuries took their toll on it, right? But at the same time, they've gone to, Ambrose now.
Yeah.
And Ambrose is the flavor of the month.
He's the most undeniable guy right now, as far as a charisma.
Right.
And a certain thing, yeah.
And so they're riding
that thing that
with
Eddie
it.
Guerrero had, that they... It was like, okay, we can't deny him.
But they have no track record to say... They don't have a positive track record.
All I'll say
is,
I know they don't have a positive... I'm not going to disagree to say they have a positive track record. But I will say, so far, I haven't seen what they've done to really fuck up Ambrose.
No, I'm just waiting for that. That's what I'm saying. I am waiting for that to happen.
And I'm saying, okay, I've seen enough with... I've seen desperation enough. And they're not... With Daniel Bryan, I saw them... Right from the beginning, go, we're not going to give him a shot. And he was undeniable. Whereas Ambrose, that's like, we'll give him a shot, not because we really want to, but because we don't have a choice, and he seems to be doing good. And so it's a different attitude. So I think he's got a shot, a better shot.
Yeah.
Like I say, the difference is what happens when Reigns comes back and what happens if Daniel Bryan comes back. Those are the big deals. And the 50-50 booking and the consistent matches and the non-finishes and the 3-hour Raws and the funny that's not funny, like the vibrators, all this stuff doesn't help the product. And so it's a bland product right now. And when you have a bland, boring product where no matches and outcomes matter, it's pretty fucking hard to make somebody a star.
Well, it's so easy. It's just, that's the thing. So, I don't know, it's right there to see, and they don't see it, and that's going to be the problem, and until they wake up, and need to wake up, because...
But they are, right now, they don't have a choice with Ambrose. They're in a situation where a lot of people have left, and a lot of people are hurt, and their guy with the belt doesn't wrestle every month. So, they don't have a choice but to go... Okay, let's try and give him some momentum right now. And they're trying right now.
Yes.
Will it stay? That's a question.
Here's the problem.
But if he gets over to a certain level where they can't deny it, that's what happened with Austin. Austin, it was like, we're going to give him a push because the other guy fucked up. And we're going to give him a push because his manager left for WCW, and we're going to show them that we don't need him to make him a star. We don't need DiBiase to make him a star. And that's why he got the King of the Ring victory, for those two reasons. Then when he got it... They continued to give him a push for a little while because he was doing well with it.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they did.
He beat Yokozuna in
the
free-for-all.
Yokozuna in the free-for-all.
By
and then
he
started calling, yeah, and then he starts cutting the promos on Bret.
And then he did the Bret Hart.
And it didn't hurt that Bret Hart said, I want to work with him when I come back. That helped a lot. Bret said he's really good. I want to work with him.
Yeah.
But the point being,
That helped in that it was everything.
Yeah, well, that helped a lot, yeah.
No, that helped in that it was everything.
But the point being, though, I mean, even before that, when he's wrestling Shawn Michaels, he's beating him on house shows.
Yes, that's, yeah.
So,
but what I'm looking at is the thing is when you're talking about Ambrose is going to benefit this, yes, because he's going to move up the card.
If he's doing well enough, they're not going to sit there and go, fucking pull it back.
No. Because what they're looking at you're talking about if they go and they're going to take and they're going. What they're looking for right now, because of the injuries, is they say, they're looking and they're going, is Dean Ambrose good enough? Is Dean Ambrose the guy that can be our number two babyface? That's what they're looking at.
Yeah.
And that's where they're going wrong. Is Dean Ambrose the guy to be their top babyface? That's where they need to be looking at.
But again, that's
why it will fail.
Before I'll say it'll fail, two things. I do think they're looking for that guy who's going to replace Cena. They're thinking it's Reigns. They should be thinking it's Ambrose. But they're still looking at somebody to replace Cena right now as the top guy.
Yes, they are.
To put Cena into that Babe Ruth role.
To go back to they don't know how to create stars, you take the right guy and you push them. And that's why they don't. They're looking at Daniel Bryan. They're looking at Dean Ambrose, and to say, can they be our number two?
Again, at the same time, we're talking about them knowing which is the right guy to push. They're pushing Sid over Steve Austin back in the day.
Yeah.
Steve Austin got over despite that. Ambrose can get over and get to that level despite that if he's the guy, as long as they don't completely fuck it up. And that's the thing.
Oh, so he won't then. You were talking in two different eras. This era with these fucking all these writers in a room and all
but
this
they're
bullshit.
Not doing the wrong thing with him. That's what I'm saying to you right now. Now, if he goes into Hell in a Cell and faces John Cena for the right to face Rollins and loses clean to Cena,
well, then he gets to fight Randy Orton because losers fight Randy Orton.
Then you've done the wrong thing with him and hurt him badly.
Did you see
that? Until they do, if that's where they go, then I'll 100% agree with you and say you were right. But until I see that, I'm not quite going to. Yeah, I know, WWE.com.
I'm gunning for Seth Rollins. Exclusive interview with John Cena. They'll fuck it up. Don't worry.
Now, there's reason to think you're right. I mean, I'm not going to say you're... If that's what happens, that's them fucking up. But I have to see them do that first before I can... completely say, you know, has no chance to work.
Yes. Well, I've it's over for him. They got the wrong attitude going in. It's a number two baby face. At least they got Brock. At least they have Sting. At least they have Hogan. At least they have Austin. You know, it's funny when the producer told some of the kids that she teaches.
Yeah.
That she was going to WrestleMania because they had the kids were doing the you can't see me thing to each other. And she's like, cool it, John Cena. And they were like really impressed that she knew who it was. And then part of her died a little inside, she said.
Yeah.
Apparently they were talking about Brock Lesnar the other day.
Well, there you go.
These kids. And the producer told them that she was going to WrestleMania.
Yes.
Because we're going to WrestleMania.
We are.
And the first question they had out of their mouths, and these were, I believe, grade fives.
Yeah, okay.
So... 10 years old.
About 10 years old, yeah.
First question on their minds, is Steve Austin going to be there?
That's fucking
seriously.
That's tremendous.
And the producer...
They must have, unlike Shawn Michaels, they must have the network.
And the producer goes, give this shot of this dirty look like, you idiot, Steve Austin doesn't wrestle anymore. And I'm like, actually,
there's a chance he's going to be
there.
There
is a pretty good chance he will be there.
Yeah.
With DDP, who was on his podcast this week, that they promoted on Raw.
I didn't see Raw.
Shawn Michaels, that was great. I know. You were basically watching today's product. Because if Dean Ambrose wins... You will get Randy Orton and John Cena Hell in a Cell 5 years later.
Yeah. But, that's awesome.
Yeah, Shawn Michaels on the Countdown show. What was he talking about? He said he couldn't remember all these moments, but when his outfit got caught in the railing, the rampway.
Yeah, the blooper.
And he's going on, he's like, "Oh, that's such a great moment. I forgot about that. I see these things, and I forget all about these. All of these moments I forget about." He goes,
"I should write these down.
I should write this down. No! I should get the network."
Yeah.
Insinuating that Shawn Michaels currently does not have the network.
Well, he doesn't. Shawn Michaels doesn't watch the product now.
No, that's true. Because he's smart.
Yeah. He hunts and he hangs out with his family and he does not watch wrestling at all.
No, that's true. Speaking, you know who won't be watching the network? At least anytime soon? People in the United Kingdom.
Yeah, well, there's something about that here, even on WWE.com, as of today. What was it saying? Did you see? Because something about, I'm not so sure the announcement hasn't been made.
No, an announcement will be made on November 1st. Originally supposed to start today, October 1st.
Okay.
So the thought is maybe that they are...
Latest update. Yeah, November 1st, right, yeah.
Yeah.
So they're looking to go to standard television with a lot less content, much like what we get here in Canada and part of Canada. Very small part.
Yeah, like hardly any of Canada.
Like a third of Canada.
But the WWE has put in an application to the CRTC to get the station aired all through Canada. I mean...
I'm just sticking with what I have.
Oh, yeah, I don't want the quote-unquote best of.
No.
That's retarded.
In fact, I really look at what they have. I think, fuck, there's all this that they don't have.
Yeah.
There's all this they do wrong. I don't want one-tenth of what they have now.
Well, part of what it is with the CRTC is that there is going to have to be some Canadian content to it.
Oh, Chris Benoit.
Being a television station. So, you know, there's Stampede Wrestling, the Grand Prix, all that stuff. They would have to air.
Can't they just have Canadian wrestlers in main events? Because they've always had that.
Well, actually, historically, they have.
Yeah, that's what
Brett
I'm saying.
And Benoit and Edge.
Yeah, Jericho.
Yeah, Jericho. Mm-hmm. You know, Santino. Mm-hmm. Carlito.
Mm-hmm. Well, no.
Christian.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Owen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Gail Kim.
Stasiak.
Trish Stratus.
Trish Stratus.
Yeah, I mean, they're Earthquake.
Mm-hmm. And again, what was it we looked at on NXT, the main event of the last TakeOver 2?
Yeah, no Americans.
Four men, one from Britain and three from Canada.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
that's it. The future is Canadian. Or British, or Japanese.
Well, then you brought over another British guy, and you brought over a Japanese guy,
and you brought in Kevin Steen.
You brought in Kevin Steen from Montreal, from Canada. Yeah, so, I mean...
Well, Montreal.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I really do see Kevin Steen separating himself from the pack. Being that he's from Montreal.
Oh, okay.
Did you hear? Speaking of, did you hear about the payoffs?
I heard that they weren't good, but I didn't get the real
described really bad. The talent is getting paid based on the pay-per-view revenue and getting nothing extra from anything else.
So, knowing that the pay-per-views are going to go down to one-third to one-quarter what they used to be because of their network, but the network's losing money, but they're not factoring the cost of paying out the people from the network into their payouts.
Well, there is.
So, in other words, the guys are getting fucked. You're independent contractors. Isn't it great? Don't unionize. The fucks.
No. SummerSlam did 150,000 buys. So that was...
Relative
success. SummerSlam would be... Well, I mean, it did 300 last year.
Yeah.
And then if you figure that... Even if you said that, say, 500,000 people have the network.
Yeah.
You know, then that's decent.
Yeah. Relative success, right?
Relative success.
Way to just, you guys got to unionize or something. You're going to keep getting fucked over the years. You know who always gets fucked when the WWE does bad business decisions? Is not the people at the top. It's not the McMahons. It's the guys. When the XFL happens, when the restaurant happens, all that shit happens and you lose a bunch of money, Who does it affect? Not the guys at the top, not the McMahons or the people, anybody in the behind the scenes. The guys who get fucked are the people getting the payouts, and who are independent contractors who have no real strength. And it's not even the John Cena's. It's your guys like, you know, your mid-card guys, your Luke Harper's and those types.
USA! So. USA! USA! Yeah, Jericho said the original plan for Night of Champions was for him to wrestle Rollins. And that Vince decided to change it.
Wow, that's a good move.
Also, did you hear about this unwritten rule with the chicks?
No, what?
If you're on Total Divas, you're not allowed to have the Divas title.
Oh. What?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. Pal.
I hate you, WWE. Well, actually, who gives a fuck? I don't watch Total Divas. I don't care. That just doesn't make any sense to
well,
me.
Well, you know, the one...
to be something you'd
no,
want to do.
But the one thing it does say to me is that Total Divas airs, like, a year behind.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, I could see... right now, they're just talking about the Daniel Bryan
because
neck injury.
Because they air a year behind. But the current storyline on the Divas about Tyson Kidd and Natalya having problems is currently on Raw, as well as the Bellas having problems in real life is currently on Raw. So, what the fuck?
Yeah, I don't know. What else? I'm just trying to... Oh! We forgot about this! Did you hear about the new team in WWE?
Yes.
Speed Force!
It is like... Like, that is what the name is for the Nation of Langston-ation.
Of Langston.
Apollo, or Consequences Creed there, Xavier Woods. Xavier Woods, Kofi Kingston, and Big E.
Langston.
Langston. It's just Big E.
Langston.
No, they just
drop that. Speed Force. Speed Force.
If you are creating a comic book parody movie, and you wanted to have a lame comic book team name,
yes,
you would call them Speed Force.
Yes.
In fact, there is, in comic books, the Flash gets his powers because there's this mysterious force called the Speed Force, and he has the ability to tap into it, whereas normal people don't.
Does he need a little excitement?
Snap into it.
Tap into it!
To tap into it, I said.
Oh, so it's like Kelly
that.
Kelly.
Yeah, okay. Tap that, yeah. So he gets his powers from the Speed Force. You're calling it Speed Force. Is Kof, or is Big E, is Big E...
Langston.
Is he quick?
No. What the promos are going to be is...
He's the Force.
What the promos are going to be is Kofi's going to be, I'm going to hit you with my speed! And then Langston's going to go, I'm going to hit you with my force! We're Speed Force! This is going to be great.
High energy!
High energy! Yeah!
Or
Strike Force.
Fuck off.
Remember that one? We're gonna strike you with a lot of force. And Rick Martel goes, Tito, that's it. That's our name. Strike Force! And he goes, I love it! Arriba!
Yes.
That's literally how they got their name.
Yay!
Speed Force. Reminds me of Speedball, the Max Marvel.
Of course, that's what I thought of, too.
Absolutely.
Speed. And Consequences Creed will still be their manager, I guess, then. Because he's not Speed or Force.
I thought Jay Lethal was going to be their manager.
Yeah.
We heard Xavier Woods do a Macho Man Randy Savage impersonation, and I thought it was Jay Lethal.
I know. Seriously. All right,
What else cool stuff is happening? Oh, I told you Matthews, but it's actually Kyle Edwards.
Oh, okay.
Is Arda O'Cal's WWE name.
Arda O'Cal from the television network in Canada, The Score, the one of the ESPN types networks up here that carries WWE.
Yeah.
Hired by them, who cares?
Yeah.
He's not your buddy or pal.
No, he's not my buddy, my pal Scott Stanford.
Oh. That's right. All right, let's. Who gives a fuck about this? These little notes. There's something on WWE.com I want to see. That was the 10 coolest moves right now in WWE. I want to see the countdown. And then I have an email question that came in.
We have
to
a
us.
Couple, actually.
So
on
we
Twitter
should get
machine.
To those. So let's do that. Let's do that. And then
and then wrap this fucker up.
Okay. The 10 coolest moves, and on this it says German suplex.
Well, the way that Lesnar puts it on, it's pretty damn cool. And you look at that, that's a wicked picture. That might even be better than the other one. Like, that's a great picture. Him and Cena there.
Number 10.
That's a wicked
picture. German suplex.
There you go.
Number 9. That's actually an overhead release German suplex.
That's right. If you want to be technical.
I will. And that was written by some guy named Jeff Laboon.
Who?
Fuck you, Jeff Laboon. Luke Harper's gator roll.
Yeah, I hope he doesn't lose that. That's an awesome move. Hey, you never did. You wanted to say something about this gator.
Oh, fuck.
And the bunny?
When you watch the Monday Night Wars,
uh-huh.
as you may have done during Raw.
Yeah, I didn't this time because the next one was debuting after Raw, that's true. And I was caught up.
Yes, the Monday Night War. At the beginning of every show, it does the same little opening, right? That, you know, WWF and WCW, Ted Turner launched WCW, and Monday Nitro came onto the scene with revolutionary television.
Yeah.
WWF was behind the times with these cartoonish-like characters, and WCW came on
every fucking week.
That's the thing, right? That's the opening, basically, right? Their little thing. So, I'll tell you what, they're like, okay, and they're like, WWF lost because they were doing stupid cartoon shit.
Yeah.
And then, all of a sudden, the fucking Mexicans who are Dominicans in mass with a little fucking midget bull are in the ring.
Yeah.
And then Slater and Gator come down with the fucking Hornswoggle the Midget in a fucking alligator costume. While Adam Rose and the Bunny and a guy dressed up like a fucking hot dog and a bunch of other shit are sitting at the ring. And I'm going, watch your fuck, like, are they all, is Hunter like Sean? I know they're friends, and Hunter doesn't get the network?
Probably can't afford it.
Yeah, it's true. How much is it, though?
Well, I don't know, $99?
Something like that, eh? But, I mean, this is why they suck. This encapsulates why they suck.
And that really is, that right there, what you just said, is why I didn't watch Raw.
And the best part about it, the best part about it is in the midst of all of this horse shit, Titus O'Neil walks up to the Reverend Jesse Jackson, who's sitting front row. And I was like, what the
That said, this fuck? Isn't new. I mean, we had Hornswoggle and Carlito doing Bugs Bunny shit.
No, of course.
We had
this isn't a new problem.
We had the Boogeyman. Everything about the Boogeyman character was a cartoon character. And, you know, this is not, I mean, the idea that they, you know, but got rid of the cartoon characters, that really lasted, like, 18 months.
They can't, and it's just, it's not.
And it's Vince. It's fucking Vince.
Oh, yeah.
Is Vince the same way that he looks at a Great Khali and thinks I can make a star of this guy, even though.
By the way, I love that the Great Khali was there, and.
The countdown I watched was an intimidating big man.
Yeah.
And they were talking about how the guys back then, they were talking about the old guys weren't as athletic, the big men back in the day. You know, the Bam Bam and Vader were different, but most of the big men back in the day aren't the great athletes that the guys today are, like Undertaker and Big Show and Khali.
Yeah. And Ernie Ladd.
Yeah. Fucking idiots.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's like the comedian that we saw.
Yeah.
I like today's guys, too. I like Austin and The Rock.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, okay, so this fucking gator roll.
Well, I love that move, and I hope he doesn't lose it.
Well, and it's great for him.
It's perfect for him. I hope they use it more.
Yeah. They won't, because now the alligator will use it.
I hope. Yeah. I'm hoping not.
No, they will.
I'm hoping that alligator was a one-time thing.
Kalisto's Salida del Sol. That is an awesome move.
It's a great move. Unfortunately, it's not his best move.
It's not, but it's his finisher.
It's his finisher, but it's not his. Not his. And they mentioned the sliced bread number 2 by Brian Kendrick.
They do.
And the Brian Kendrick by name.
Yeah. Well, they don't care anymore.
No, I guess not. So that's interesting. But yeah, I mean, there's a couple guys that you could actually say. Like, some of the guys in NXT could end up with these moves. Rusev's super kick?
No.
I don't know about that.
I do. No.
Yeah, that's a better way to put it.
That's
a great pitcher, though. Another tremendous pitcher.
That is a great pitcher.
And number Santino, who's coming back.
Well, not for like 6 months. He's going to be on TV soon.
Yeah, but he's coming back.
He's just going to be a fucking Raw pre-show motherfucker for a while.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Okay. Stardust top rope springboard kick.
The disaster kick.
Yeah, the disaster kick. Yeah. Yeah. I guess you can't call it that now.
You know what you need to call it? The cosmic kick.
That's a good name for it. I don't think he's still using that all that often, actually. When did he take on Big Show? I can't remember.
Probably him and Mark Henry.
Oh, yeah, probably, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they beat them, and then, you know.
Yeah.
Mark Henry's turning heel.
He is. That's wonderful.
That's what I do.
The Ascension's Fall of Man.
Get the fuck out of here.
The high-low.
Which was great when AJ Styles and Christopher Daniels years ago as tag team champions in TNA did it.
That was great. But
the way these guys do it.
Well, they do the running, more dramatic horseshit.
It's not as good.
It's not.
And it's not new. And it's not.
Total elimination.
But now we have two of these. Now that we have two of these from NXT, shows you how lame the moves are in the main roster.
Yeah, I know, right?
Because we're not even looking at the best.
And we're not even at the best move. What do they call that? Red Arrow?
The Red Arrow, yeah. From Adrian Neville.
But, the total elimination.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Number four, skin. Roman Reigns, Superman punch. Okay.
Yeah. Way cooler than the spear. He needs to drop the spear completely. Spear is overused, like the DDT.
Yeah.
And stick with that as his finisher.
Yeah.
And the fact he's putting that on Cena there, that is even better. That's a great picture,
too.
That is
a great picture.
There's so many great pictures we use as a show picture this time around. It's weird.
It's true. What do we got? Sami Zayn between the turnbuckle dive DDT. Yeah, that's cool.
Fucking right.
That is awesome.
So that's another from NXT.
That's another from NXT.
I was thinking about his, but his finisher isn't that spectacular. It's just a kick.
But that's cool.
But yeah, now that they put that in, because he's used it multiple times.
To me, that's the equivalent of the Bret Hart...
Heartlock.
Figure four leg lock outside.
Yeah, it's awesome. The curb stomp. Curb stomp's a great move. I'm not sure he puts it on better than... Paul Burchill used to.
I was going to say, Paul Burchill's I really liked.
Yeah, but it's a great move.
And number one, here's the Red Arrow, right? Gotta be.
Gotta be the Red Arrow. I can't think of anything that's, unless you want to say...
The Justin, RKO. No.
The
Red Arrow, there you go.
Okay, so Justin Gabriel's 450, not on there.
Yeah, but when has he done it? It says in the moves right now.
Yeah, it's true. He's on the roster, but he never applies it because it's his finisher.
Yes.
So it only happens when he wins. Now, there was one right there I want to see. 50 moves that actually really do exist. On the right-hand side there?
Yeah, I see it.
Hey, click on that. I'm curious.
Click on that, slap nuts.
What is this one?
What a maneuver. 15 moves that really exist.
Didn't Owen use that? But that's not Owen. Who is that?
Hunter. Hunter and Taker. It's Hunter and Booker.
It's Hunter and Booker. Didn't Owen use that move on Brett?
Oh, yeah. At Mania 10.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. That's Hunter because he had pink tights.
The sugar hole.
He had pink tights. Oh, that's right there. It's probably a Susan B. Coleman thing. The sugar hold? What's the sugar hold?
Mythically practiced by Stu Hart in the legendary Dungeon. The sugar hold's origins are unclear.
Really?
I don't know what it is. Is that Stevie Richards and Jericho?
I think it is. Something like that. I think it is.
It's a full Nelson, but then you press the knees to the upper back with the entire body wrenching down, which he's not doing because I see his knee.
It's not even the right fucking hole. This is just a bad.
Stevie Richards briefly revised it as his rat trap. While competing weekly on the program referred to as Stevie Knight Heat.
This rat trap. There's a joke there.
Yeah, it's how we got Victoria.
There you go.
Yeah, that was stupid. More on Stu Hart. I want to go there. The stump puller.
That was a great move. I mean, it's even a great game. Yeah, it's hard to describe again, though. It was a move. Was it his finisher?
It was for a while when he was a heel.
Doink the Clown's finisher.
Yeah. Big Bully Busick also used it.
That's right, yeah.
Oh, it says right there.
Yeah. It's a submission hold, and it's really hard to describe, though.
Yeah, it pulls your stump.
Yeah.
But it really exists, apparently. I pull my stump.
Every night before I go to sleep. Sorry, relax.
The Asiatic Spike.
Oh, yes.
This move really exists.
This move does really.
And here is Killer Khan putting it on Hulk Hogan.
I'd like to see somebody bring it back, actually.
I'd like to see Killer Khan come back.
Yeah, fucking right. Still be, maybe at least he'd stand out.
He would.
Yeah.
Well, and they talked a trip to Japan where Terry Gordy used the move, of course.
Well, that's right. Didn't he use it when he was the executioner or something?
Well, I think he just used it in world class as well.
Did he?
Yeah. Superstars like Don Morocco and Ming were proprietors of the hold.
There you go.
Don Morocco. What else we got? The discus punch.
Oh yeah, I love that move.
Texas Tornado.
Always
and,
used it a year.
Well, Matt Hardy.
Is that the punch?
I think so.
The discus. I thought it was like. Well, I guess there's also the discus clothesline. Somebody's used that. So, but the discus punch him. Matt Hardy didn't do it like Texas Tornado. And the Texas Tornado did it with only one leg. He was the wrong. He was the wrong. Oh, we're going to do that.
Yes, we are.
We just saw something great. But he was the wrong one-legged wrestler. But
yes, he was.
But he was there much before.
Do we have to finish or can we go to it now?
Open a new tab in it. We'll come back to this. Open and link in new tab. Because on WWE.com right now...
It says, become the GM of Raw. Apply now.
So we're going to see terms and conditions. Just say, I agree, I don't care. Because we gotta do this. Sorry.
This download isn't available anymore.
Ah, oh, you fuckers.
What the hell is this?
I don't know. That doesn't even seem right. Just click it, and we'll come back to this other one.
Oh, it opens it in a new window anyway. It's for this Wii transfer...
Something that must be gone. Maybe we didn't apply in time. Remember that guy who didn't a guy win because he was on Raw because he donated like $100,000 or something like that?
I thought he just got to come down to the ring with...
That could be. I don't know.
With some fucks.
Maybe we're not eligible because we're Canadian.
Hate them.
Yeah, me too.
The Heart Punch.
There's
by Stan the Man Stasiak.
Yeah.
Who was the last person to use it?
Crush.
I was going to say, was it Criminal Crush?
Yeah, Criminal Crush.
Yeah, there you go.
And even then, it was great. I love it. I love that move. It's amazing that we're talking about how these are moves that nobody knows about. They're rare moves, which is hilarious because they're all so great. Here's another great move, but one they can't do.
The Vertebreaker.
One that they banned almost immediately when he came over from WCW, and that was Sugar Shane Helms or Gregory Helms.
Yeah.
Greg. The Vertebreaker.
And that's a great picture with him doing it to Chavo here.
Awesome.
And then WCW.
And you know what? I mean, it was safe, but it's safe if it's applied properly. But one fuck up.
There's so many room, so much room for error in it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Airplane spin. Oh, yes. That's right. Daniel Bryan was using that for a little while in because his gimmick was he was an old school type shooter
yeah.
for a little bit there.
And also, he used it on what was that show? On the Saturday Morning Slam?
Yes.
When he was
right.
the Dazzler.
That's right. The Dazzler. Daniel Bryan. I remember that. Actually, I like that nickname. Let's go back to that. The Dazzler.
The Dazzler. That was tremendous.
Yeah, that's good. Better than Goatface.
The Tarantula. Okay, I got to remind you that these say that these are moves that really exist.
The Tarantula, of course, Tajiri, was great in ECW because he could put it on and leave it on a guy for like 30 seconds.
Yes.
And it was awesome. In WWE, they give you 5 seconds, but really he'd have it on for maybe 2-3 seconds. So it never even looked painful. And a lot of people have used it, never being good. I think somebody's even using it right now. If I remember correctly, I think one of the Divas or something.
Yeah, I was going to say, wasn't it Emma? Yeah, Emma does it. Yeah, yeah. Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
There you
so
go.
Shitty.
So nobody sees it.
No.
Let's go to where I don't know.
Watches Superstars.
That's true. The Indian Deathlock.
Yeah. Great move.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Could be somebody's finisher right now if they wanted it to be.
Yeah, but they don't have anybody. Like, I mean, unless you bring back Tatanka. The stomach claw.
Muhammad Hassan.
Seriously, now. The stomach claw.
This is one I don't know if you can make. I think you can make it work as a hold in a match. I don't know if you can make it work as a finish.
I remember an episode of Seinfeld where Kramer was explaining the stomach claw to George.
Yes.
About how great it was.
That's right.
Yeah, you could never make this work.
No, probably not. Probably not. I think you can make it work as a hold.
Give it to the bunny.
Yeah.
Ah, here it
you
is.
You know what I would like to give to the bunny? Is
head
Elmer Hud Fudd. Fucking shoot that fucking.
Yeah.
And if that's Sami Zayn, who's awesome. Oh. There's the heart lock, who's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, the ring rolls figure four is awesome. Yeah.
One of the great moves. And nobody's been able to put it on good since, which is one of the funniest things. A lot of people have tried, and nobody's been able to put it on right.
Yeah, Adam Cole does it.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah.
He's the closest. He's the closest guy.
Yeah. Spinning toe hold.
There's one. Yeah, there's an old school one.
That one could come back.
That could easily come back. A lot of these can come back. A lot of these, I'm like, hey, you know they're there. Why is somebody using them? Atomic drop?
Yeah, that one should not come back.
See, and I like the atomic drop. I like both ways, as front or back.
I do. I don't mind the inverted atomic drop.
To me, it looks good. It's simple. I like the move.
We need to have Bob Backlund teach it.
Or the crossface chicken wing, which, remember, the guy at the comedian didn't know. Was it Mick Foley didn't know how to put on the crossface chicken wing?
That's right. So he just put him in like a hammer lock.
A hammer lock at the at
Ross,
the,
yeah.
Yeah, at the stand up thing. And what's this one?
Rowboat.
Oh, it's a great move. Great, great move. Needs to come back. The octopus. What's the difference between the octopus and the abdominal stretch?
I think octopus is
a little cooler, right?
Yeah, you got your like leg over the guy's head.
Yeah, both of that needs to come back too. Not as a finish necessarily, but it's a great move. Then again, for early in his career in Stampede Wrestling, the abdominal stretch was a finishing hole for Bret Hart and other people. You know, most of these moves you have to understand started off as somebody's finisher.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just became like the DDT is now, just a move in a match that doesn't lead to a finish. 25 hottest SummerSlam matches ever.
Don't care.
Okay.
Let's just go to our question here by, I get it here.
I think it was
James Wesley Odlum.
Okay.
Yes. Do you think it hurts the WWE that there is no competition, which is why the product is so stale? It's not just a yeah. It's an oh hell yeah.
It's oversimplification of it, though.
No. I think that's the root cause. Nobody can go anywhere else. Nobody can watch anything else. If you want to watch wrestling, then you're gonna watch that.
And the network.
And they'll tell you, yeah, but they own the network, and so but no one's buying the network, and they can't if they don't have anybody to promote the fucking network to, because the only people they promote to are people that are watching fucking Raw. So if 3 million people are watching fucking Raw, and 600 million of them or 600,000 of them get the network, guess what? Those are the fucking people that are still watching, that care enough to get it either for $9.95 for these fucking pay per views that aren't streaming it. Like everybody we've talked to is streaming it, or or want to watch the old shit.
Yeah,
and so
that's right. There was a guy who we were talking to who ended up at our table last time. He was talking about how he's like,
yeah,
I won't pay for this shit. I'll just stream the pay per views. I can stream them. That guy also had a great story we should tell real quick. And he said years ago he was at an event and they were behind a fence. And his favorite wrestler, Billy Gunn, came out.
Yes.
And he's just a kid at the time, and he yells at Billy Gunn, Billy Gunn, you're my favorite wrestler. And Billy Gunn at the time was a baby face.
Yeah.
Billy, you're my favorite wrestler. And Billy Gunn goes, who gives a shit?
Yeah, who gives a shit?
And then he goes, that's okay, Billy, you're still my favorite. Billy says, I said, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
That, to me, is tremendous.
That is awesome. A coked up Billy Gunn.
Just an asshole.
An ass man.
Badass.
But I think, yeah, I think that totally hurts the fact that there's no competition.
Again, it's an oversimplification. I mean, if you were putting on 3 hours here and also were putting on 2 hours on SmackDown and then had to do the pay-per-views and whatever else, even if you had some strong competition, it still would be stale. Like, it still would be, like...
No, I don't think as much.
But
I think that they would have to, if your competition again was strong. I mean, you could see if you, like, you they had TNA, you know, that was on, tried the Monday thing, did this, did that, right? TNA was a strong competition.
Some of the ways the best thing for them was the fact that their top stars could leave, meaning that at times they had to create new stars.
It wasn't even that their stars left. It was the fact that they were being it was the fact that Nitro came on and was competition.
And that's a big deal. Yeah, but the stars.
That's the only deal.
Stars. But you know what? The other thing is the stars. And again, they have made it so that the stars don't carry the brand anymore. The brand carries the brand. And as long as it's that way, and I don't know that that was a philosophical change that went through years ago when The Rock left, essentially. That's another thing that I don't know if that's a lack of competition. It's a huge factor. Is it the only factor? I don't think it's the only one.
No, it's not the only one.
But it's a big factor.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
He also wants to know, what do we think are worse, sports fans or wrestling fans?
That's kind of open-ended.
Well, what fans are worse? So I guess it would be more critical, I guess. You know, like people get down we have the Calgary Flames here, and they suck wiener. And people analyze trades, and people analyze free agent signings, and you know.
So, I mean, if you mean like who is worse in the stands, wrestling fans or sports fans? I mean, at football games, the fans are usually behave far worse than wrestling fans.
No, but who's more critical?
But if you're looking at it that way, who's more critical? Who's like, who's just more annoying? Who's more wrestling fans?
I'd have to say it's about a tie because
I really don't think there's a lot of difference.
No, I don't because, I mean, a lot of if you take, let's say, I'll use, for instance, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders in Canada here, or the Dallas Cowboys, let's say.
Green Bay Packers.
Green Bay Packers is probably
there. Yeah.
And they're the only game in town.
Yeah.
Right? Wisconsin, Green Bay, Wisconsin are the only thing there. They're the Packers. Saskatchewan, it's the only fucking thing to do there. And so that's. That's it. So they're rabid and passionate, and I remember a guy missed a field goal and they dumped shit on his lawn, you know, a few years back. And the people are just rabid and passionate that way, and wrestling fans get that way as well. So I think that's, when you talk about worse, and that brings out the good and the bad, and there's all different types, there's all different people. So, but I think it's the passion there, and I think that...
Well, the thing about the wrestling fans is, they're very loyal because they're still watching. You know, 3 million people are still watching, or plus 3 million plus are still watching this shit.
Yeah.
Despite how awful it's been for the last 6 weeks here,
yes,
or so, right? Like they're very, very loyal. I mean, TNA fans continue to watch it despite, well, not right now.
Yeah.
Their ratings are really tanking on Wednesdays all of a sudden. Not good, but
well, it is a
huge support. Actually, probably is good. But yeah, I mean, they're loyal. But the internet as a general rule is just negative. So, I mean, if you think, oh, fucking people are bitching all the time. Well, people are talking about movies, they're probably bitching. If they're talking about conflicts, they're probably bitching. If they're talking about TV shows, they're probably bitching. If they're talking about wrestling or sports or whatever, they're bitching. And then the Twitter's a very negative place. So, I mean, again, I don't really think there's a lot of difference. I think maybe it's just human nature.
Yeah, I think the passion level for both is about the same. You know,
the people who are the most passionate for wrestling, the people that listen to shows like ours and do get the network, those people are different than the casual fans. Like, you know, like our thousands of listeners are there. We know if you're listening to our show, you're not the same guy who's flipping to Raw and then flipping back to football and then flipping off to the hockey game and then flipping. You know, you're not that same guy. You're the guy who's watching Raw every minute. That's it. You're a passionate wrestling fan. Otherwise, you don't seek out a podcast.
No, that's true. Or do one.
Wait. I said I watched wrestling. I just didn't watch Raw.
That's true.
Smart.
But yeah, and you had another question that was emailed.
Yeah. So Hornswoggle's little brother, and take that for what it means. Sent us an email question.
Oh,
and he wanted us to rank.
That's Shawnee O'Green Penis.
He was one of the guys underneath the ring.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. With Shawn Michaels and Triple H. Remember how they said the
little people's court.
got rid of those cartoon characters.
Yep.
So anyways. Yeah, fucking Triple H. Watch your own product. Like you said, that was actually the best point you've made probably since we've done this show.
What's that?
That they kept on saying that we were still doing the cartoony characters, and then they have the bunny and the alligator.
That's it. It was just smacked you right in the face.
And the, you know, the horn.
All three of them.
The Torito and stuff. That to me was just... That's the best point. I think
everybody had a human stuffed animal with them.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, this compares so directly to
Mantar,
and
TL Harper.
Yes, it's amazing. So that's actually, I think, the best point you've ever made. So anyways, Hornswoggle.
And there's been some great ones.
No, not a single one. But Hornswoggle's little brother asked us to rank and rate the different shows on the WWE Network.
Rank and rape.
Rank and rate.
Oh, rate.
Rate. We're not Heath Slater.
No. Speaking of Hornswoggle.
So anyways, rank and rate the different shows.
Okay.
So
I would probably put at number 87, WCCW episode 34. What do you think is 86?
Those 2,000 shows.
Yeah.
Like if you're gonna rank, you're gonna rank the show. I'm thinking. I think he means the original programming, like the TV shows, like the, you know.
Yes.
I mean, you could say like a Raw and Nitro, right? And those would probably be one and two.
No.
You know,
two and one.
Two and one.
No, I wouldn't even say that because right now I would say Nitro, the first 100 episodes of Nitro, to me are. They're up there. They're up there. I don't know if you count that.
I think he's maybe saying things like I think he's talking more.
The Monday Night War.
Monday Night War, Countdown, WrestleMania Rewind,
Legends House.
Legends House.
Breaking News.
Well, I mean, I think you could almost qualify. It's weird because they haven't had a lot of them. But I mean, the Daniel Bryan one, the Shield one, the Warrior stuff like that. All of them except the Vicky Guerrero one. All those kind of. Documentaries that they made just for the network like that, they're all tremendous. Like, that's the best stuff. That's the best stuff. And if you want to talk pre-show, the pre-shows for Raw.
For Mania.
Got rid of, well, for Mania, but even pre-shows for Raw,
I think that week-long pre-show to Mania is probably the best.
That might be the best stuff they've done. Yeah, like in total. And like I said, I do like the pre-shows to Raw. They got rid of the post-shows, but I did like that because it was a sports, and it doesn't fit in with the programming. And the Gator,
well, they
and the Gator and the Bunny and all
they
that.
They changed
shit,
it up, though. I mean,
yeah, it's not as good anymore.
No,
because it's less sports.
Think about
it was more sports. Like it felt more like an actual panel.
Think about NXT Takeover again.
Yeah.
And NXT largely is, if you want to
talk about that, that's original programming. Yeah.
I think that's really great, too. But I would say the documentaries are the best thing.
They are, but I don't consider them regular. Let's stick to things that we consider regular programming.
Okay.
So that would be Monday Night War, Countdown, WrestleMania Rewind.
Is that even on still anymore? WrestleMania
they
Rewind?
They haven't updated it in forever.
No.
That's probably because Pat Summerall passed away and they're looking for another
No, one. They haven't had Pat Summerall. Pat Summerall did the first one. And then that other jabroni did the rest of them. But I don't... The same guy that does
find another one of
that? Same guy that does the Monday Night War thing.
Yeah, okay. Anyways, the point... Yeah, they haven't had one of those. But if we're going to rank those shows, there's enough of them out there. You know, not like these specials, which is just a few, right? So, I mean, WrestleMania Rewind, Monday Night War...
Legends House.
Legends House, NXT... What else would be? Is that it? I don't consider Divas because it goes. It's not first run programming. These are kind of the first run programming that had regular runs that were a fairly regular show.
I think that's it.
It's pretty much those five.
Yeah.
So what do you think is the best, and what do you consider to be the worst?
Well, the well, then you could do. What would you rate them?
Pre-shows
and shit too, or no?
I don't think we. Well,
yeah,
we
keep them in a separate thing.
We've already kind of talked about them, but I think let's stick to the programming.
So, what was the most entertaining show? Legends House. We couldn't believe we were watching it every week.
We were so happy when we did. Yeah, it's one of those things where
it should not be good.
Well, it's train wreck bad. It's train wreck good. I mean, it's you can't believe what you're watching, so you can't stop watching. It's not that it's good.
Yes, it is.
It's funny because it's so bad.
It's good.
So I would consider it actually probably. You're saying what's the most entertaining? I consider it probably the worst of the show.
I say it's number one.
Because it had a lot of set. Because usually how it was there was. It was an hour-long show.
Yeah.
With probably like 10 minutes per hour that it was just great and I'd laugh my ass off. And 40 minutes to bore the fuck out of it. It was kind of like watching it wrong.
But it was entertaining. It was. It was the show that we watched.
No, Flock of Flamingos. Flock of Flamingos.
Flock of Flamingo. Flock of Flamingo.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
But I don't know. I think that I would go with that one. What are my other options? I would go with WrestleMania Rewind last. Because
I go Legends House.
I thought it was going to be really good, and it started off really great. The Irresistible Force meets the Immovable Object. The first WrestleMania. All it started to be, like, I thought, okay, it's going to be great. And then it became like... The triple threat match, you know.
I'll give Legends House a 6 out of 10. I'd give WrestleMania Rewind a 6.5 out of 10. The problem I have with it is that I want them to highlight those matches that people don't talk about so much, those forgotten ones. Those I want you to highlight the Hart Foundation versus the Nasty Boys from WrestleMania 7.
And Brian Knobbs could talk about it.
Yeah, but
he's like, has he seen it?
Oh, probably. We should watch WrestleMania
7. We should watch WrestleMania 7.
But, you know, like I want those type of things where it's not necessarily the main event or the two icons meeting in it. It could be something, but I can really enjoy those shows. Like the Floyd Mayweather versus Big Show one was great.
See, and I didn't watch that one because I just didn't care about them. That's the thing, I didn't care about that match.
You didn't care about the match, but the documentary themselves part is good.
What about have they done one on Savage and Steamboat?
I don't think they did. No.
Because they highlighted Savage by doing the WrestleMania 4 tournament.
That's true, yeah.
And so it's. But they had. I mean, you need Savage Steamboat. You need Brett and Owen.
Yeah.
They did do Brett. They did do that one with Brett. Brett. It was about Brett. It was Brett and Owen and Brett and Yoko. It was a WrestleMania 10. They did that one. And that was great.
Yeah, that was great.
But I mean, it's just. That's what I mean. If the match. Is great, then I enjoy reliving that through documentary form when they do some of the lead-up stuff. But if the match I don't care about, then, and that was some of them had Cena and Hunter, I think.
Like, but I mean, give me Jericho versus Christian, like a match that, you know, from WrestleMania 20, like a match that was a terrific match, but wasn't the highlight on the show, but just let me remember it so I can remember what a great match that was. That's the type of thing I want more.
And they're not, though, because they're basing it all around what the story is.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that did have a good story, too. Sure. But yeah, I think... So that would be it. I mean, what do we got? The countdown, I would put next at number 4. I liked, again... The countdown,
I'd give NXT next.
See, I like NXT. I put NXT in the middle.
Yeah.
Right smack in the middle.
Well, that's what it is. For me, it's Legends House is worst, and then it's far down. And then the next four to me are a lot closer. And so I go Legends House is the worst, and then I say WrestleMania Rewind, then NXT, then Monday Night. Actually, you know what? No, fuck that. Next is actually Monday Night War.
For what number?
Because NXT is number 2 and Countdown's number 1 for me. So NXT for me would be, or Monday Night War would be number 3.
See, I have Monday Night War in at number 2.
I'm watching them all and it's fresher, but I'm getting more and more frustrated every week when I'm watching them.
Well, that's all of these shows. All of these, the Countdowns, the WrestleMania Rewind, and the Monday Night Wars, which are really the three kind of original, same type WWE produced programs.
Yeah.
You know, the Legends House is the Legends House and the NXT is NXT. But those three.
Look at those, just those three.
Because if you rank them today, the Monday Night War of the three is my favorite because it doesn't seem yet. I mean, it starts to, but I'm not bored of it yet.
I'm starting to, but I'm not starting to because there's a lot of people saying the same, like I'm seeing the same clips over and over,
yeah.
And because I'm hearing the same thing, cartoony characters. Then they say got edgy. Then WCW fucked up. Then we won. Hey, and it seems to be that same story.
Well, that's just the beginning. But you gotta remember that.
But you gotta give to me. Well, and I mean they're not they. Every single show except for the NWO one has been on WWE.
Yes, that's the word I was going
to
get.
That's a big problem. And to me, another big problem is, like we say, it would be much more interesting for them to take a month at a time and say, here's what was on one show, here's on the other, here's why they were winning, here's why they were losing, and follow the pattern from the beginning to the end.
Yes.
And do it over the course of the several years. And you know, I mean, if you're sitting there saying, we're still showing Duke the Drumster, but when they're, like for instance, like okay, now in 97, their ratings are higher, but now we got the better products. Now we got Stone Cold, now we got the Hart Foundation, now we got the Mankind, we got the better programming, but people haven't turned on yet. But we can start to feel the momentum. That story arc.
Yeah,
the real life story arc they could have told would have been much more interesting.
And they did this.
And this is just a bunch of mini documentaries that rarely even talk about the Monday Night War and just kind of fuck up.
Well, that's the thing. They did the Mankind one. They did the Screwjob one. They've done the Steve Austin one. Even heck, when they did the NWO one, it was again just those were just standalone individual documentaries. DX standalone individual documentaries, which are fine. And some are better than others, but
I mean, I enjoyed the Foley one, but
exactly,
yeah.
Is this a Foley documentary? Great,
yeah.
But it's just as a Monday Night War program, it's not
what it should be. That's all.
It just shouldn't be called the Monday Night War.
No, it's a disappointing. Just call it mini documentary.
Yeah,
like it's not. So for me, I mean, I've gotten pretty bored with that one. The countdown is flawed by the fact that they give us 10 options, then you rank them. So really, you end up with a lot of options. You're like, fuck, this shouldn't even be ranked in this list that they're presenting to us.
Yeah.
Like, this is a horrible list. The rankings and then are more on popularity of the or familiarity with the person or the event more than the actual quality as well. So it's just, it's flawed. And then, like you say, WrestleMania Rewind, they're not necessarily highlighting. To me, it just could be way more interesting. You can do a lot more with it. NXT is usually really solid, but to me, it's just building to the weekly show is usually pretty good, but really you're just building towards those takeover events, the pay-per-views, which are great. But those other ones are just the storylines, just to keep you hooked until you get to those.
Yeah,
and then Legends House was fun, but I mean it was a one-off thing.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's over, and I mean, talk about doing another one, but I mean they.
So really, when I look at this, I'm like, if you're thinking, I enjoy these. This stuff is all. It's like gravy. It's like the network is worth it because you get the monthly pay-per-views, because of the occasional specials, because of all the pay-per-views in the back and Nitro. This stuff, I watch these. They're gravy, though. It's not these three programs, or even these five programs, however you want to put it, is not enough to make it worth $9.99 a month.
They're not worth $9.99 a month. No, they're not.
So if that's what you're thinking, or these are the things that put me over, no. But what they are is a nice compliment, a nice little...
If you're bored and there's really nothing else to do, you can watch it and you won't be pissed off.
No, you'll enjoy your 45 minutes to an hour, whatever. Just
well, with the Monday Night War, sometimes it takes 45 minutes just to get warmed up. But I'm trying to think of if there was anything.
I think that's it. I think we're done.
Anything else? I mean, did we talk about Speed Force?
OUT. Quickly, before a spider comes.
Speed Force. Don't worry. If a spider comes, I will use my speed. And then I will use my force.
Hey, you'd be the speed, and I'd be the force.
Yeah. Did you hear about Barry Horowitz and Goldberg's new tag team? Speed Foreskin.
That wasn't funny.
Barry Horowitz is the speed.
Give the promotion for our product.
Okay. Foreskin. You mean the other product. WeTalkWrestling.com is our website. There are no foreskins on this website. So if you're looking for that, you have to go to our other website, which I won't mention here. Facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling, @WeTalkWrestling on Twitter, And also, addie@wetalkwrestling.com is our email address. You can find us on Stitcher. You can find us on iTunes. And you can find us on the TuneIn radio app.
And a whole bunch of other places we don't even know how we got.
I know. Oh, Langston. But yeah, I think that's going to do it. So in the meantime,
and in between time,
and in between time,
that's it.
Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.
Good night, folks.
Are we off air?
Yes.
Okay. Did you actually start a website called foreskin.com and not tell me?
No, it's We Talk Foreskin.